Making Chicken Salad this week is brought to you by Three Count Pro Wrestling Academy. Are you in Brisbane and thought about learning to be a wrestler? Well, here's your chance. Three Count Pro Wrestling Academy are based out of Beenleigh in Queensland, and they're committed to teaching the best, safest way to learn the art of professional wrestling. Hit up their Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or email admin@threecountfitness.com now to register your interest. And we thank them so much for supporting the show.
Here I was blaming AEW for feeding you chicken shit, knowing you mindless millennials would be eating it up as if it were chicken salad, when it's really been your fault all along.
Make chicken salad out of chicken shit. People is as people does, that's all there is to it. Put a square peg in a round hole, just never seems to fit. And you can't make chicken salad out of chicken shit.
Welcome to Making Chicken Salad, or as we're calling it this week, Making Egg Salad, a Wrestle Radio Australia podcast where we talk about all things going on in the world of wrestling around the globe. I am Lachlan Albert, your very valuable egg, and I'm joined by the man who didn't show up for his 25th anniversary, Todd Eastman. Todd, how you doing, man?
Well, I'm in Australia, much like the other fair guy.
Yep, that's not right.
No chance of either is going.
And you'd both need an actor to pretend you were young. All right. So going into what's happened over the past week, bam, getting in quick.
Yeah.
It was Survivor Series over the weekend, one of the big four pay-per-views for WWE. So we're going to jump right into all of the absolute nonsense that went down. We're saving the big one for the end because that happened. So first of all, the main event, Universal Champion, World Champion, head-to-head, Roman Reigns defeating Big E in not a bad match. Big E got some really good offense in, but knee injury plagued him through the match. Reigns took advantage of it, got the win. I think it was the right call. Reigns is definitely the stronger champ here. It was what I expected. You, Todd?
Yeah, it was a really good match for Big E, really. If anything, that was something that was probably a match that helped elevate, even through a loss, it helped elevate him to being taken seriously as a champion, if you would. I think the biggest letdown of the match is that I swear to God, I think everyone still thought The Rock was showing up at the end there. Even I thought something was going to happen because they teased that Brock might be around during the night, sort of thing. So you were watching that last bit where Roman's getting out of the ring and then the little Chiron comes up on the bottom. And you're just like, wow, they're really not doing anything after this, are they? But, I mean, I would have rather that than at least they didn't try the old Survivor Series swerve in anywhere in this show. Because that, to me, that would have been worse.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's the big main event with the two champs going head to head from both shows. There was this one was again a pretty good match. That one when Becky outsmarted her opponent, managed to cheat at the opportune moment, and grab a hold of the ropes during a roll up. It was really yep.
Sorry, the internet is being a internet.
Oh, bleh.
So. All
right. I'll just do it again and make you cut it up.
Fuck. All right.
So moving on to the women's side of things, we had kind of a semi-main event where the two women's champions went head-to-head, Becky Lynch beating Charlotte Flair, outsmarting her by grabbing the ropes with the roll-up when the ref wasn't looking. These two women clearly do not like each other. And, you know, it showed Becky being smart, outsmarting her opponent, cheating at an opportune moment to win. Again, I liked it. I thought it was a really good match.
Yeah, I thought this was match of the night, if we're being honest, opening up the show. Well, opening up the main card of the show anyway. I'm surprised they put it on first, to be honest with you. I thought they might have put it up further in the card, but I know sometimes they like doing that. They like opening it up with a title match. Well, they're all freaking title matches, this thing.
Yeah.
yeah, it was a really good match. I thought it was really good. The one thing I will say, and it was something that, referee Jimmy Corderas, or former referee Jimmy Corderas, brought up on Twitter, is that the commentators put all the heat on the referee and not on Becky, saying that Becky outsmarted her, if in the commentary, which, like, over that night, the commentary wasn't bad. I didn't mind the fact that they just kept moving Cole and Jimmy out. And I think Byron came in and went out as well. But just keep Pat McAfee in there. I don't care how long he has to be. Just keep Pat McAfee permanently on commentary.
Got the energy.
But yeah, it was like that. That to me was the match of the night for the yeah,
absolutely for that show. Excellent on that desk. Yeah, and that's why I wanted to, you know, bring that up second rather than going through the whole card and getting it to it where it was the opener.
Yeah.
It definitely felt like it was the other main event of the show. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about some of these elimination matches. First of all, we had the women's 5-on-5 elimination Survivor Series match, Team Raw beating Team SmackDown, Bianca Belair overcoming 4-against-1 odds to be the sole survivor. I think Bianca needed this.
Mm.
She, you know, came through WrestleMania, absolutely super strong, has been having an awesome run, and then felt really derailed by the Becky Lynch WrestleMania match, Becky Lynch SummerSlam match, I should say. And, you know, really needed that boost by taking down a whole team in Survivor Series. I thought that was really good booking.
Yeah, it was as I was watching it, I'm like, they're remaking a star with Bianca in this one. And also Tony got a nice little run there too, Tony Storm, which was good. It was good to see her finally actually doing something on TV for once.
We love seeing the Aussies actually get to do something.
Yeah, yeah, we do. But yeah, it was a good match. But like I said, it was
a Survivor Series match.
Yeah, it was definitely designed to put Bianca in the forefront of everyone's mind and make people really want to see Bianca and Sasha maybe go at it again, which is weird because they're still on opposite brands. So I don't know how this is all going to play out. That's the thing about like this Survivor Series where it's like Raw against SmackDown. You can't really lead to anything more unless it's against teammates. So if they set something up like a feud-wise, then they're going to have to do the cross-brand, cross-promotional thing, which I don't mind. It's just weird.
It means that you end up with a lot of those inter-team storylines of, and we'll get to it, something like someone walking out on their team, because it's the only way to create drama between people on the same show when you've got a cross-brand match.
Mm.
Speaking of cross-brand matches, let's talk about the tag team match. RK-Bro defeating the Usos in tag team competition. Look, I'm not a fan of RK-Bro. I'm going to come out and say that. I think that they are both good wrestlers. You know, I'm unexcited by it. Randy Orton growing a goatee does not make me want to watch him more.
Did you see Raw at all today?
Where Riddle put on a fake goatee. Yeah.
It's
fine.
I'm sorry, whatever. But I found that pretty damn funny that he wore all of, because Randy's been telling him you need to be more like me. So he rocks up on Monday night with black tights, black boot, like not black boots, but black tape over his feet. So it looks like he's got boots on, a little fake goatee. And then Randy's got to explain, no, not look like me. Act like, their promos backstage, I actually really do enjoy. I enjoy the look of frustration on Randy's face to the point of where he just eventually goes, oh man, what am I going to do? Because you can tell
when Randy enjoys doing something, right? Mm. It makes such a difference to his performance because so often he phones it in. Mm. You know, over the years, we've seen Randy phone it in a lot. So when he's into what he's doing, it makes a difference.
Yeah,
I did hear a funny story about a camel, and Randy was upset that he did not get to ride on a camel. I thought that was fun.
Well, there was the what was it? It was during the match at Monday Night Raw. It was Riddle against Ziggler, and Riddle was doing all of Randy's signature moves, and his mannerisms and doing the whole, he did the whole turn, you know, when he does that turn around and hits the mat to go for the RKO. You see him do that. And I don't think Orton saw it coming because he popped when he saw it. He just broke character and went, oh, like that. See, that sort of stuff is great. And I thought the match was good between them and the Usos. The Usos are a great tag team. The Usos
could wrestle two mops.
Yeah, yeah. They just need two good guys to work with. And unfortunately, because of the way the Vince seems to appreciate tag teams, that's hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, I liked it. It was an inoffensive match, if that makes any sense, but it was just good. It was good.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Let's talk about the other 5-on-5 eliminations Survivor Series match, which was, again, Team Raw beating Team SmackDown. Raw absolutely cleaning house at this show. I think they won like 5 out of the 7 matches that went into brand or something. Team Raw overcoming Team SmackDown here. A huge run from Seth Rollins being what seems to be the key player on Raw. Kevin Owens walking out on the team, but something with Kevin Owens, I guess. I love Owens. It feels like, I don't know if he's trolling the fans with wanting to go to AEW or if he actually does want to go to AEW, but I can't imagine that Vince would want to let Owens go. And I don't know if this is something that Owens wants to do character-wise or if it's just Vince needs another heel, so he's pushing Owens into that role. I'm really not sure.
Yeah, well, after like Raw today, it looks like he's very much in the mix with Seth and Big E around that title. So
yeah, it looks at least like they're doing something triple threat-ish.
Yeah, yeah, it really does. And the whole thing with it was very, if you're an old school fan like I am, it was a very, well, it was worse because Bad News Brown every year used to do the same thing. It was the same thing every year. He'd be in the team, something had happened, a miscommunication, he'd get mad and just walk out. Like, I think it happened like 2 or 3 years running with Bad News Brown. And that's what it reminded me of when I saw Kevin Owens doing it, except Kevin didn't even wait till the start of the match. He just got out and walked off. But he did it in character, so it's not like it was a kayfabe thing where he just, like a shoot thing where he's like, I'm not doing this. I'm out.
Yeah, he's not taking his ball and going home.
No. It was like, it was in character sort of thing. But yeah, it was good. The final sequence with Seth and Jeff Hardy was really good too. And also Austin Theory getting a bit of a run, a bit of a shine, and really looks like they have a lot of stock in that kid because he was in the main event at Raw against, well, we'll talk
he about was. We'll talk more about that soon. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
I thought you'd...
Yeah, yeah. So let's talk about the other match on the main show, which was the 25-man Battle Royale as a celebration of 25 years since The Rock debuted at Survivor Series. This, of course, was won by Omos. Good for Omos.
Look, this should have been swapped with the Shinsuke and Priest match because that was, to me, that was the second or third best match on that card. That was a really good...
Let's talk about that Shinsuke Nakamura versus Damian Priest, which was on the kickoff show. Mm. Nakamura winning by disqualification because Rick Boogs at ringside keeps playing the guitar. Priest gets sick of it, destroys the guitar over Boogs, hits Nakamura with the guitar. Nak gets the DQ win. Great. Fun. Gives some dimension to Priest. I think it was, you know, it got Boogs involved in Shinsuke's matches. Like, if you want to look at it as Boogs got Shinsuke a win. So he's doing what a manager should do. Like, I think there was a lot to like here.
Mate, if that was in Daly's place, that would have been a 4-star match.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we put discussing that on the list.
That was coming up in my chicken shit. So
yeah, I thought it might have been. It was almost mine too. But let's get to the thing Lachlan wants to talk about. I got the feeling that you don't have much to say. So sit back and relax and let Lachlan tell you a little. So here's the thing that is like going through my brain, right, is that Survivor Series was the 25th anniversary of The Rock. And we had a 25-man battle royale in honor of The Rock. And then suddenly Mr. McMahon has this egg that is promoting a movie starring The Rock. And of course, Roman's going to need a challenger, and the egg gets stolen. You know, like The Rock's character in the movie Red Notice steals the very valuable egg. He steals that egg in the movie. And then someone stolen the egg. And whoever stole the egg is going to get a WWE title match. And on Raw, it's revealed that it's Austin Theory. What? What?
Well, you know. Are you
kidding me? What?
If I want to annoy people, I would say, look, Austin Theory is a rookie. That was his first Survivor Series. Ties in with The Rock's anniversary of his first Survivor Series. I'm really reaching here.
And look, I mean, if I had a dollar for every time a Survivor Series storyline involving an oversized egg disappointed the fans, I'd have $2, well, which is not a lot. But it's weird that it happened twice.
Yes.
It's unfortunate that a Guerrero won't fit into this egg, but I don't know. I'll take what I can get.
It was dumb. It was so dumb. I don't know if all of this was planned before, like Dwayne having to go and like come to Australia to film Young Rock, or if they thought he'd be able to get out to come back to do the spot, or what the deal was, or they just got a shit ton of money from Netflix to help promote this thing, and that's what they decided to do. It was dumb all around. Like the whole...
I don't know if you've read like the plot synopsis of Red Notice.
I've watched Red Notice.
You've watched Red Notice? Yeah. What is Red Notice, Todd?
It's not bad. It is not bad. Look, it's got Ryan Reynolds in it. I love Ryan Reynolds. And Ryan Reynolds plays... Yeah, and Ryan Reynolds plays like Deadpool in every movie now. So if you like Deadpool, you're going to like
the same way that The Rock just always plays The Rock.
Yeah, but it was an enjoyable movie. It was a good movie, in my opinion. In one of my opinion count, if you ask
me. Look, it's interesting to me that this implies that Mr. McMahon owns Nazi treasure. Like, I think that's a very interesting
because he made implication it, from what's he happening. Made it. He made it very clear the next night that The Rock gave it to him. He said, The Rock gave it to me. And then a couple of seconds later, you just go,
okay.
I think he maybe loaned it to me. He was like, real. It was a really subtle thing to us. He goes, The Rock gave me this thing. And about 5 seconds later, I think maybe loaned it to me. Anyway. But it was dumb. But I don't know what.
So dumb.
I don't know what they had planned. Like, and if the plans fell through, why did they keep going with it?
But at this point, like, If you're not going to give me something good, give me something dumb, right? Because if I want to talk about wrestling to if I want to talk about wrestling to my mates, if I want to talk to wrestling about you, Todd, on a podcast, then I need something to talk about. And it seemed like without that, there was almost going to be nothing to talk about with Survivor Series. It was going to be another event that happened and there was some wrestling and it was all pretty good. Because WWE has high production values, they've got very good wrestlers, it's all reasonably okay to good. And sometimes I want a stupid egg.
Yeah, and look, the thing is, and the pro, I'm going to stop saying that, I told you. there's the problem with the Survivor Series, because of the way they've structured it now, there's no real story progression. Unless they do something extra, there's no like natural story progression through Survivor Series. So it's sort of like, I don't know. Do you know what I mean? There's no, and they
especially
didn't do, it was a terrible build going into Survivor Series. It wasn't like mass invasions and anything to build up any real heated rivalry. The only thing that came close to that was Reigns and Big E and Charlotte and Becky. That was the only real two things that did anything. It wasn't like a mass roster invade and there was a massive brawl as they went off the air. What's going to happen at Survivor Series? We'll see you on that stuff doesn't seem to happen anymore in WWE. It's like they're in cruise control.
And it's made that much more obvious when everyone on YouTube is putting up their hour and a half long documentary on the 3-year build towards Hangman getting the AEW title. You know what I mean? It's like, we just saw long-term storytelling, and then WWE is going to come out here and give us, we built to this event for 4 weeks and it's going to have nothing of consequence for the future.
Yeah, it's almost like now.
Give me a stupid egg in that case.
Yeah, it's almost like the only sort of long term storytelling they do now is from January through to April, from like Royal Rumble to WrestleMania, and then they take the rest of the year off. That's the way it feels.
The rest of the year is events.
Yeah, it's month to month. Like, you got 4 week build, here's a show. 4 week build, here's a show. There's no like 4 week build, like tease something going on into the next 4 weeks. The tease something going on into your like destination Big Four. It's just, it's
anyway. Disappointing. So let's move on to a couple of other things that happened on Raw with that. Zelina Vega and Carmella defeated Rhea Ripley and Nikki Cross for the women's tag team titles, which, I don't know, didn't seem like they were doing anything with them, I guess. So,
It's hopefully this means that Rhea might get a bit of a singles run again, back up in that area. But who? You just don't know now. It's so.
And Nikki also deserves a good singles run. So, you know, hopefully this is a good thing for both of them, and hopefully it's a good thing for Zelina and Carmella, who, or at least. Zelina definitely deserves a shot with some TV time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all.
Did you see, just veering off for a second, you remember when they did the whole SmackDown 9/11 show and the big controversy came out about Zelina Vega, how she wasn't on the show, her show got bumped, her match got bumped and all of that sort of stuff. And everybody for a good month or so was, why would the WWE do this? They didn't even say anything, they didn't.
Yeah.
And it's only just come out now that Zelina's like, oh no, Vince called me and talked to me about it and everything's fine. Like, he explained what it was and said there was nothing personal about it. So I find it very funny that it takes this long for that story to come out. So it's almost like the actual real explanation is buried October, November, like,
and WWE is such a huge machine, you know, that when these things happen, how are those stories going to break out of that monolith that is, and they're a company designed to keep things secret. You know what I mean? They want to have the big pops and surprises. So they're designed to not let information out.
Yeah. But see, this is the thing that that shit gets out all the time. That, like, if Dave gets a sniff of a story on WWE, he'll spoil it. So you're telling me that they wouldn't have found out about Vince calling Zelina somewhere between?
Yeah, fair.
Like that story,
that's a fair point.
This is what I'm saying. It's sort of like, oh, hang on, this is a sort of good story about Vince. No, let's not put that up there. What else can we do? Oh, they just cut more people. We'll talk about that. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, it's a shit thing. Like, again, going on with the roster cuts, because I keep seeing these posts on Twitter about it, going, oh, I don't understand people taking WWE's side and that they're making record profits and still cutting people, and why are they doing it? Because they're under no obligation to keep people on, extra people on. It's a business. At the end of the day, it's a business. It sucks. If your boss or if my boss saw we had way too many staff for what we, he would cut people. Because they are made redundant. They are redundant to their needs. It's as simple as that. And it doesn't matter.
Exactly.
Like, contract or no, we have a working contract with our employers and they can cut that contract off because, sorry, this spot's no longer available.
Especially,
so I don't understand what the difference is.
WWE is a company that offers past employees things like rehab payments and stuff like that. Like, they are under no obligation to do that. At the end of the day, you know, as far as or anything like that, but there's a lot of things that they are not obligated to pay for that they do pay for. I think that there's some things that they should be obligated to pay for that they don't, you know, and we can get into that talk about should health they be insurance. Paying for travel expenses? Should they be paying for health insurance? I think so. But, you know, that's a whole other conversation.
Yeah, but that's a conversation
at the end of the day, you're exactly right. If you are not getting value out of an employee,
yeah, but that's a conversation for all of wrestling. Like, that's not just a WWE thing. AEW are the same. Like, the only people that are getting health insurance in AEW are people that work in the office as well as wrestling. They're the only roster members. They come out and said, because Tony Khan was very, very particular when he said that we are looking into health insurance for everyone. Not that everyone is getting health insurance, just that they were looking into it. And only people that have actual office jobs get health insurance in that company. And I think we're lost lock on.
You're right. Tony Khan is very careful with his words and he doesn't get enough crap. Yeah, no, we're fine.
Oh, dear.
I'm so upset that that very funny comment came with so much lag.
Oh, dear. It's funny because I have a Tony Khan joke later on for my punishment. So it's been quite well. Yeah. So where are we? Let's move on now. So
it looks like we're back synced up again.
Yeah, it does. Also, Seth Rollins getting attacked by a fan at Raw. This is quite a left field move.
Yeah. So yeah. It's weird. I don't know if these fan invasions are happening more or if we're just like hearing about them more, but it seems like, you know, every so often it's just, oh, yep, fan invaded. We're going to hear about this again.
I'll tell you what, though, the guy got some good speed up before he tackled.
He did. Seth. He got a run up.
He got a real run up. So,
like, look, I don't want to give props to the guy.
No. But,
like, you know, fair shake to him.
I like Lance Storm's comment was just like, they should have hit him a lot harder. They were way too polite with that guy.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes you go back and you see, you know, because you'll watch wrestling YouTube videos or whatever, and you see a guy invading the ring and they just get, boom, the wrestlers really go into him.
Well, the referees do.
There was a Chavo Guerrero tweet just today. There was a Chavo tweet where he commented that wrestlers used to be tougher than the fans, which I think was an interesting take. But yes. Yeah, you know.
But fans also can sue now because there's so many cameras around. So much.
Yep.
So much bullshit like that. Like, honestly, I'm totally off the camp of, like, you want to step into that zone, then you cop what you cop.
I fully agree, but, you know, you're absolutely right. As much as I think typically frivolous lawsuits don't exist, you don't want to risk being on the wrong side of one.
No. So, all up, what do you think of SmackDown, like, out of 10?
What do I think of Survivor Series?
That one, too.
Yeah, that one as well. It was good. It was a Survivor Series. It's like a 7, I guess. Like, but the problem is that it's in terms of sitting down and watching a wrestling show, I guess it's a 7 out. I feel like I have almost nothing to talk about this show. And if we weren't doing this podcast, I would not have watched it. And I don't feel like I would have missed out. Right. So yeah. In that way, it's like a 2.
Yeah. Like, actual in-ring product was good. So, like, I give it a 6. I give it a 6 out of 10 because the in-ring product is great. The only problem is that there was only one match in that whole card that had any emotion tied to it, and that was Becky and Charlotte. Everything else was very perfunctionary.
Look, I think for me, what it was a 4 out of 10, and then it gets 3 more points for the egg. Love that egg. Big fan of egg.
Oh, dear.
Anyway, moving on. Let's see if I can stop talking about an egg for a second. Let's talk about AEW. So after losing the AEW championship to Hangman Adam Page, minor surgeries on his shoulder, his knee, his abdomen, possibly his septum, according to Dave Meltzer of the Wrestling Observer, seems like he has been pretty banged up. And that does make it very impressive, the quality of match he was able to wrestle with Hangman Page. Obviously, best wishes go out to him. Hope that he's, you know, getting back in ring shape. And, you know, especially when you think about the quality of matches he's put out over the past couple of months, and then he included that Bryan Danielson match. If he's working through that many niggling injuries,
and you give JR,
I'll never get that name right.
And you give JR shit.
Yeah, that's true. Right. Hey, I don't have a name right. Anyway, so Omega's out. Best wishes to him. Anything else to say on that match?
Yeah, and like I had a joke, but I know I get crucified over it, so I won't. I was going to say it just goes to show how good his opponents have been. He's been working with, but you know, I won't make that joke. But no, it's yeah. If he's got all this stuff wrong with him, and we don't know what the surgeries are. It's like minor surgery. So it could be just a lot of it could be just cleaning stuff up, like cleaning a knee, cleaning a shoulder, that sort of gear. So who knows how long he's going to be out for. But yeah, best wishes on the recovery. I hope hope he's okay.
It's gonna be, you know, it's a whole number of surgeries. So I'm guessing 5.75 stars from Meltzer on these surgeries. Best of luck to him.
Depends where they're performed.
Yeah, that's right. If he flies over to Tokyo for them, that's worth a couple of extra stars. Let's move on to a feud that is being built in AEW. And it is one that, you know, MJF and Punk are going to go at it. MJF talked a lot of smack. Punk came out. MJF offered a handshake. Punk laughed and walked away. Punk is one of the great talkers in modern wrestling. The fact that his whole promo, he didn't say a word, I think indicates that this is going to be a clever build. They are not just giving these guys mics and letting them go out and talk, which would have been easy. And I'm glad that they're not. I'm glad they're thinking about what this story is going to be. Are you excited for this one?
Yeah, I'm really excited. I'm wondering if this is going to be the first loss Punk has. Or if this
I'm hoping that it is.
Yeah. See, the thing is, right, because they've put MJF over Jericho. They put him over Darby Allin. Well, I suppose Jericho got his win back as well, so, but maybe this is
Jericho got 8 wins back, it was fine.
But maybe this is like they've built him up enough that like losing the Punk won't really hurt. Losing the Punk won't really hurt him anyway, but it's sort of like if you really want to make the kid, you put him over with Punk.
Yep. And this is a situation where he can cheat. It's fine, right? Like, and it doesn't, I don't think it damages Punk to lose to someone who blatantly cheats and consistently blatantly cheats. I think that's fine. If that's going to be Punk's first loss is going to be, you know, screwy, then that's fine. But yeah, I really do. I think it could go either way. I really hope it goes MJF's way. And I was going to say that this is a feud where I'm way more excited for the build than I am for the actual match.
Yeah.
But then I thought back to the Derby match that MJF just had. And it was really good. And Punk's match on the last show was also really good. So maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the match is also going to be stellar.
It's also like, I don't know. Darby's not going to get his...
Yeah, but...
Yeah, because I try not to say those three words I'm trying not to say. Darby's not going to get his win back now. Because that's it. Those two are done. So,
Darby doesn't need his win back.
No, but
you don't need a win back against Punk.
No, I'm not talking Punk. I'm talking MJF.
Oh, MJF, sorry. Darby doesn't need his win back. He'll get his win back, you know, 5 times in the next 5 years, and he'll lose it again 4 times in the next 5 years. These guys, They're two guys who are going to be going at it for years.
Yeah, but do you see what I'm saying there? Like, Freshly, he basically got punked out for that win. Now, traditionally, a babyface wouldn't stand for that shit and would come back after him. Whereas we're just not seeing this. They've just moved on. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying that storyline-wise, I don't see where this leaves Darby to move to somebody else. Like, why would he move to somebody else where he would still, like, if this was shoot, you would still be after this guy for doing that stuff, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? If this was a shoot, like, thing, this guy beat me by putting on the ring, punching me, then giving me a headlock takeover for a win, I would have been after him on that Wednesday night.
I don't disagree. I hope that, and again, this is where maybe I put too much faith. I'm hoping that there's another story that plays into. You know what I mean? Because you're right, that it does leave Darby with no recourse on MJF. But if that feeds into Darby going, I'm sick of cheaters, and that's why I'm going to look at, you know, this person who cheated in a match, and I'm going to take them out to prove that cheaters don't win. Or, you know, it's a losing streak storyline. He goes, I couldn't beat Punk, I couldn't beat MJF, who can I beat? And maybe he starts, you know, decimating young guys, or he decides that he needs to prove himself because he's lost these big matches, so he needs to challenge Jericho or whatever. You know, there's storyline opportunities there. And I agree that you don't want someone taking a loss and then not getting any momentum from it. I don't think he needs the win back. I just don't. And honestly, seeing storylines where we have to see the match three times so that the babyface can win in the end, it makes me bored of wrestling.
Yeah,
right. Whereas if we get one twice. Really good match and then the story moves to other things, great. Yeah. Rather than seeing the same match twice.
I would have preferred him getting a rematch and winning in the rematch, just so it's 1-1. Then they can go away, and then in like a year or two, come back in and go, it was 1-1. This is the third match. Do you know what I mean? That's an extra build for that you can do a year in the future. It just seems like you get very much, I don't want to say used, but used. Like, he headlock, bang, headlock takeover, pinned him, ha, ha, ha. I'm smarter than you. I'm out of here. I'm going to go for face Punk now. I don't know what you're doing. Good luck to you, mate. Do you know what I mean? It's kind of what it seems to me. And I get it, but
someone's got to lose a wrestling match.
Oh, right? Exactly. But there's ways to do it where you can have both guys looking strong coming out of it.
I think Darby looks strong coming out of it. And I think that as long as we hear something from Darby that justifies why he is not hunting down MJF, that's fine. And that can be as simple as Darby going, I know that I performed better than MJF on the night. As far as I'm concerned, I got the better of that match because he had to resort to cheating.
But he's not like
that's fine by me.
He's like, it looks like he's going to be in a feud with the Gun Club.
Gun Club are undefeated, man. I don't know what you're talking about. You've seen Gun Club's win-loss record? Rankings matter in AEW, Tom.
It doesn't
matter that they're artificially inflated on Dark. They matter.
Rankings matter unless Tony wants to have a tournament. And then they don't matter anymore. It's pretty much what it is. Let's face facts. Tony wants to have a tournament
if you got.
But yeah, there was one shot. There was one shot during, I think was it Rampage where it was Billy against Darby this week?
Yes.
Yeah, there was one shot where like Billy like stared down Sting on the outside. And it so much looked like Mum's new boyfriend just came in and met the old dad. That's just what it looked like. It's just like, he's like, holy shit, look at this guy.
Just two old men.
But one of them's like absolutely chiseled. And the other guy is just like, Ah, well, come on, Darby, let's go.
I'm cool.
I'm cool.
I've got check face out, paint and trench coat.
Check out my face paint.
Like my baseball bat?
Okay. Ow! Sorry.
Here you go. Let's go. Let's go. Hit a few sluggers, kid.
Anyway, sorry.
Let's talk about...
I apologize to everybody for that.
I love my stepdad, Billy
Gunn. Yeah, you do, kid.
Mum just likes him because he's an ass man.
Yeah. And that's one thing I think I tweeted about it. Like, Tony Khan's got all of this money. And he does everyone else's, like Brian Danielson's song sounds like what Daniel Bryan's song sounded like in, you know, like Punk's, just they just bought Punk's song. They couldn't get someone to write an ass man sound like song for Billy. I mean, come on.
Ridiculous.
Everybody wanted to hear it.
What a way.
I'm a gun man. Could have been all fine. Right.
Let's stop talking about the ass man Billy Gunn for one moment of our damn lives. Let's talk about the Bryan Danielson heel turn. We talked about how we weren't sure what was going to happen with Hangman becoming champion and Bryan getting the number one contendership. Now we know. Hangman came out to celebrate National Cowboy Shit Day on Rampage. Dynamite. Can't remember.
It was on Dynamite.
Anyway, came out. Thank you. Danielson interrupted and started talking about how he can beat your guy. And he beat, can't remember who. But he's basically said that he's going to fight every member of Dark Order in their hometowns, by the looks of it. Because it looks like every episode of Dynamite is booked in the hometown of a member of Dark Order up until our next big show. So he's just going to go through them methodically. Can't wait to see him kick Anna Jay's head off.
never has one man gotten more heat from saying the word WrestleMania.
But yeah, like I love heel Bryan. And that was so clever, is he's using the things that he knows this crowd doesn't like.
Mm.
He's referring to WrestleMania and how he was a champ there. Like, that is how you get heat in the modern age, is you go to AEW and you talk about how you won at WrestleMania. Like, and great heel work.
And Hangman's response is like,
you beat up people the crowd loves.
Yeah. Hangman's response is, I beat Kenny Omega under 30 minutes. How about you? Sort of thing. That was good shit. Like, that was good stuff. Like, he was good. Bryan was good. The subtle heel turn is good.
Real good.
It's
real good.
Danielson and Cabana will actually be a...
What I love about this
Cabana heel puts turn. If Cabana puts his working boots on, that'll be a really good match.
Cabana's really good. I was, you know, talking to someone and we both said, you know what? I'm never not happy when Colt Cabana's on my screen. And the guy can work as well as be heaps of fun. So it could be an absolute slapper of a match. But yeah, what I really love about this heel turn is the character didn't change. The character didn't change at all. It's just who he's pointed at and how the crowd's responding to the things he does, because he's pointed at people that they like. So suddenly he's the bad guy. And there's those tiny little adjustments that are made to exactly how he says things, just to make the most of that crowd's ire. I think it's really, really good.
Mm. Yes, no, I agree. Yeah, really good turn from Danielson. He seems to be really enjoying himself, which is good. I wonder, and it's a fear I have, is that he's wrestling way too much to the point where with his style, he might get injured, because he's not exactly unprone to it. And like, it's a very different style to the WWE style. And he even said that the WWE wanted to look after me too much. And that's why he went to AEW. I just really hope that that's just a fear that I have, and it doesn't actually happen.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's a real fear to have with his style. Especially, I know that he's cut out doing that drop kick off the top that he used to do all the time, because Yeah, he used to land always on the back of his head on that. So I'm just glad he's not doing that anymore. So
Yeah.
But yeah, but we'll see. You know, but I love this new guy, this new wrinkle to Brian Danielson.
I mean, Brian Danielson is good. Who knew?
Everyone.
Anyway, so let's go through what's booked for Wednesday's Dynamite. It's Danielson versus Colt Cabana. It's CM Punk versus QT Marshall. Okay. TBS title tournament is going to be Jamie Hayter versus Thunder Rosa. That match should be great. If it gets more than 3 minutes, it will be awesome. And we've got the big one. Your favorite wrestler, Cody Rhodes, is teaming with the Lucha Brothers and Pac to come up against FTR, Andrade El Idolo, and Malakai Black in a 8-man tag match. I like most of the guys in this match. Most of it should be chaotic and fun. Mm-hmm. I think it's probably too many guys in the ring at once, which I think AEW likes to do a lot, is just throw everyone in a match.
It's very New Japan booking.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very New Japan booking.
Yeah, let's get all those big moments of, you know, big names facing off against each other, but they don't actually work with each other enough. It just hypes that potential match.
Mm. I'll tell you what, though. We've come a long way from the start of AEW. And originally, I really had this. I had this dream of a four horsemen stable of FTR, Cody, and MJF. We've come a long way since then. Do you know what I mean? It's like,
come a long way.
Like Paul Roberts, because I just thought that as a faction would be a great faction. Like Cody could very much play the Ric Flair character. You've got the FTR who are FTR, but then like MJF, I could see as that Tully, that young like heel, up and coming heel that could have got like molded into the bigger thing. The way they went is perfectly fine. I really wanted that when it first started. It looked like it might.
He's the Randy Orton of Evolution.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's, yeah, they've, I just, to me, like I see no connection. I said this before. I see no connection between Malakai Black, El Idolo, and FTR. Like no logical connection. Like the same with like, Cody Rhodes and the Death Triangle. I see no logical connection between those three. In fact, wasn't there some like a feud not long ago with those guys? Like Cody, like Pentagon said something about.
I didn't even disconnect that time.
What was that? You didn't even disconnect. I know, it just dropped down on me. yeah, but wasn't there a feud not long ago? Cody Rhodes and Pentagon over, like you talked about, like you never hold your kid. And we're X amount of days down the road and they're all tagging happily. So it's just, it makes no sense to me, this part of the show. I don't understand it. I like the guys in it. I just don't understand it. I even like Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes is a great wrestler. He's just working against type at the moment.
Well, I hope you said some interesting stuff there, Todd.
We're having internet issues, with that, folks, just so you know. This is not us just not bouncing off each other at all.
I mean, it's a little bit of that, but it's mostly the internet.
I play one bit of like a show that I thought was funny because we were arguing, and now you're going to do this the whole show?
Look, I can't help it that we don't get along in real life, Tom.
fuck you.
All righty. With that, let's take a quick break and we'll come back and talk about everything else that's happened outside of AEW and WWE.
We'll be back after this, guys, okay?
December 3rd, Max Watts. PWA returns home. Now we conquer live, December 3rd, live on Fight.
This is the Bro Day Pod.
St. Patrick.
Yeah.
Where was he from?
Is this a loaded question?
Ireland? Nope. St. Patrick was from Wales.
Okay.
Hey?
Curveball. Swing and a miss.
Not bad. Not bad, eh? This is prime content.
Yep.
All right. How many snakes can be found in Ireland?
None, because they drove them all the way with the snake wagon. No, that's
the Simpsons. That's Springfield.
That's Springfield. How many snakes? Like, is in
there are snakes in Springfield. That's why they have Whacking Day.
They have the Whacking Day.
But Barry White is against it. He's against. He loves the sexy slither of a lady snake. Gross. That was one of the weirdest things.
Yeah, that was an odd episode.
Lisa was like, Barry White, surely you're against Whacking Day? He's like, I love the sexy slither of a lady snake. Oh, yeah.
Barry White, which one's he?
Barry White?
Mm.
Can't get enough of your love, babe.
Good. Very good. I'm happy with that answer. Do you mean species of snake or how many snakes total?
Yeah, how many snakes can be found in Ireland?
If it's countable, then...
No, not countable, like species.
Oh.
Obviously. You know, like in Australia,
everyone.
We've got something like 24 out of the top 25 most dangerous snakes
world. Yeah, I don't know. Like seven.
Nearly. Zero.
I said zero first. I backed out.
There are none. Zero. It's one of the few countries in the world that has no snakes.
Well, I assume it's because of Whacking Day.
Well, according to legend, our dear St. Patrick
drove them out.
Chased them away into the sea.
Into the sea?
Into the sea.
That's how we have sharks.
Follow Broday No Plan B podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, YouTube, or anywhere you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. And Todd, you and I have just realized that we have not spoken about the Spare 'em Off really quick. John Morrison, out. All of, what's that group called?
Hit Row.
They're gone. Shane Thorne, Aussie Gray, out. What are we thinking of these releases?
As much as I love Shane Thorne, the writing was on the wall with the amount of people that they're cutting. Hit Row was a big shock.
Slapjack.
Yeah. Hit Row was a big shock. John Morrison, not so much a shock because, I mean, what was he doing? Was he waiting for The Miz to come back so they could rehash their feud from X amount of months ago? It's just they had an overbladed roster. They're cutting people now just to try and realign things, and I don't know when they're going to stop. I don't know what they're playing at. I don't know if they're getting ready for a sale. I don't know if it's just the fact that they're looking at the books and going, why do we have 150 wrestlers when we're only using 60? That sort of a deal. I don't know any of it. Honestly, I haven't got an answer for it.
No. I think John Morrison was only on this run to build up some retirement money or to, you know, fund whatever terrible movie he wants to make next. If he wants to wrestle, he can go anywhere because he is a good wrestler and anywhere will have him, I think, personally.
Yeah, and it's not like he never burnt bridges on the way out like other airy people did.
Yeah, it seems like I don't know where a lot of Hit Row is going to go because they're quite green other than Shane Strickland, who is incredible. I really hope that we see him back in the indies because there's guys who I will never tire of seeing him wrestle, guys like AR Fox. If you've never seen the Hell of War match between Killshot and Dante Fox, which were their names at the time in Lucha Underground, seek that out if you're into death matches at all, because that thing is insane. It's so good. Obviously disappointing to that Shane Thorne doesn't have a job. Oh, I'm gone again, am I, Todd?
Yeah, you did. Could you tell? Australian internet, folks.
Oh, man. Love to see it.
Yeah, this is going to be funny
let's power through it then, see how much of this we can get out.
Yeah, for however many people listen to this or watch this from America, our internet, for some reason, is affected by rain. So if it's a heavy night, we have a bad internet connection. So this is what we enjoy living with up here. So enjoy your 7G, whatever you get over there in America or whatever. We're stuck with a hamster running on a wheel.
In that case, I'll just prompt you to talk for a bit, Todd. Triple A Mega Championship is vacant. Kenny Omega was unable to wrestle at Triple
Mania. You missed the one story because we talked about it before. We're going to cut that part out.
Elio Del Vikingo is going to get a shot.
Hang up. Thank you.
Jonah has made his debut in Impact. Big debut, crushing Josh Alexander. Talk to us about it, Todd.
Wow, that really tells me how good the internet's going. Yeah, Josh Alexander out there, cut a promo. Jonah came out, absolutely obliterated him. So it was senton after senton after senton after two massive big splashes. Josh Alexander bleeding from the mouth really set Jonah up to be an absolute monster in Impact. It's going to be really good to see how he goes in the future because, of course, he is tied to New Japan. So he's got a match coming up against, I only said his name long ago, the first time we did this. What's his name? He's engaged to Tony Storm. Juice Robinson. There we go. Juice Robinson coming up and then this whole thing with Impact. Very exciting to see where it goes from here for him. And especially since he's been hanging out a fair bit with Buddy Matthews because they're tied to New Japan together. So who knows, something might come of that, maybe a team or something down the line for that. Moving on, because we don't know how old mate Lachlan's internet is going at the moment. The AAA Mega Championship is officially vacant after Kenny Omega was unable to wrestle at Triple Mania Regia. How do you say it there?
Regia.
Regia. There we go. See, you can talk. But now you're frozen. Dorian Roldan of AAA made the announcement on Monday stating that El Hijo del Vikingo will challenge for the title with more news to come. Now, the story coming out of this for me is AEW really did or really sort of has screwed over every partner they've sort of worked with when it comes to titles and title changes. When you look at it, the Impact title changed hands from Kenny on AEW TV. Kenny was supposed to drop that title to Andrade was it Triple Mania? Yes,
it was Triple Mania.
There we go. He was supposed to drop it at Triple Mania and they overruled it because they wanted other things to happen. So, and they must have known. Here we go. they must have known coming up to All Out that Kenny was going to get these operations afterwards. So it seems to me that they could have had him drop that title over in AAA beforehand. It just from a 500-foot perspective, it really looks like AEW have done these guys, these partners that they say they value, kind of dirty in this arrangement that they've had with Impact and with AAA. I don't know what your view is on that.
Yeah, it sucks. El Hijo del Vikingo rules. I hope he gets a good run with the title. Doesn't matter who's challenging, he's going to win it. He's been built to win it.
Yeah. But yeah, it sucks the way that they've done it. They didn't have Kenny drop the belts on Impact TV and AAA. It is what it is though, guys. Major League Wrestling today announced that the league will install a new open-door policy. The policy engineered to deliver dream matches against MLW's top contracted competitors will commence in December. Recognizing an unprecedented free agency market, MLW will open its doors to all who they think have what it takes to be in Major League and take on MLW's greatest grapplers and champions. While the majority of MLW's roster features contracted competitors, a percentage of each card will now feature free agents, ensuring exciting and unpredictable matchups, which is really good. That's another great step forward from Court Bauer, I guess, mate.
He wants the Ring of Honor talent.
Is that what you think it is? That's all it's geared to?
It's a big part. But Jeff Cobb was there. That's good.
Yes. I love that photo of Jeff Cobb and Jonah. Have you seen that? They're doing the Spider-Man thing. They did the Spider-Man thing where they're both like pointing to each other. It was really good. If I find it, I'll send it to you so you can have a look. Do you want to try the next one, mate? Because it looks like your internet might be a little bit better.
Let's try it. New Japan Pro Wrestling and Pro Wrestling Noah have announced a joint pay-per-view. It's going to take place on day three. Wrestle Kingdom on January 8th, 2022. Looks like my internet has shit itself. Should be good.
A little bit. Yeah, during a press conference, it was announced that the two companies will work together for an interpromotional event on, like you said, January the 8th at Yokohama Arena as the third night of Wrestle Kingdom. So we're going to get to see matchups between New Japan and Pro Wrestling Noah talents, which should be good. In a card that will be probably seen in God knows how many months when it comes
out. It's also not the third night straight of Wrestle Kingdom.
No, there's like a break because it's fourth and fifth and then the eighth.
Which is good.
Yeah. But does that mean that they're going to do fourth and fifth, then do New Year's Dash, then do Noah?
Oh, maybe. Isn't New Year's Dash before?
I always thought it was like night after Raw type, night after WrestleMania Raw type deal. He's doing a quick Google, guys. Look at him go. Look at him go. You can't see it if it's on, you can't see it on the podcast.
Day after Wrestle Kingdom. I don't know.
Yes. Anyway, we'll move on. PWG had their card over the weekend. It's a long way to the top if you want to rock and roll. Aramis defeated Jack Cartwheel. Lee Moriarty defeated Kevin Blackwood. Leo Rush defeated Davey Richard, which would have been a good match to see. And a triple threat match, Dragon Lee defeated Ray Horace and Demonic Flamita. Jonathan Gresham defeated Daniel Garcia via referee stoppage, which would have been a good match to see as well. PWG World Tag Team Championships, the Kings of the Black Throne, Malakai Black and Brody King defeated the Workhorsemen, JD Drake and Anthony Henry. Now, why don't they have them instead of the Wingmen? I have no idea in AEW. And in the main event, PWG Championship, Bandido defended against Alex Shelley. So catch that when you can, when they eventually release it on Ring or High Spots or when they release it on DVD.
Bandido's doing a good job of carrying that title.
Yeah, well, he's only got one title to carry now because ROH is he's done in December there. So it depends, like, do you find it funny?
So with the way the internet's going, that's debatable, probably not going to work. So let's...
Well, no, it'll be a walkover for me, and then I get to do the... I'm fine with that. You get to do the punishment, because I'm going to cook something devilish up for you.
I lose by ref stoppage.
Exactly. You can't continue. After what you did to me this week, you can't continue. Okay, well,
that's fair. That's fair. I can't continue. Declare a punishment.
Jeez. No. Well, what we'll do instead, maybe we'll do what my punishment was, and then the next show when we got good internet, we'll do the debate that we were going to have. Here, the thumbs up. There we go. So, hang on. Let me pull up, because I didn't do a fancy little thing like you did. I didn't do a fancy little newspaper article. I just wrote notes because it was the only thing keeping me from throwing my iPad at the TV during these shows.
Remind us what the punishment was.
The punishment was watching 5 episodes of the award-winning, nobody did give award to, A Shot of Brandy, which is just great, because apparently this is payback for me making him watch Roads to the Top because he lost in a fair battle. But that's my problem, apparently. I gave him a perfectly good wrestling show to watch, and he gives me this. But that's fine. That's fine. That's all good. So anyway, the first episode was it the very first episode? Because you did the thing for it, so I can't remember. Was it the very first episode of A Shot of Brandy? Because she didn't introduce it like it was.
Yes, it was.
Oh, really? Because she didn't introduce it like it was at all. She introduced it like it'd been going on forever. Her guest was some guy that worked in the background. Apparently he was Hangman Page's lawyer on an episode of Dynamite or something. So I can't even remember what the guy's name was. I didn't pay much attention, to be honest, because I was pretty pissed off that I had to watch all these things. So my only notes for this first episode was, this is cruel and unusual punishment. Lachlan will pay. Yes, Lachlan will pay. Episode 2 was pretty much the highlight. Was pretty much the highlight of the 5-episode arc here. And it is the one and only Tony Khan. And I don't think we give him enough credit for being a good guest on this one, because he was great. I'm just going to read my notes And if you have any questions, feel free to ask them. She actually says at the open, people ask, how do you get all these guests? No, they don't. They don't ask that. Nobody asks that. You work in AEW. That's how you get the guests. They're all AEW people. That's not a question anyone asks. I don't think one person asked that question. Maybe after they've seen it, they're like, how do you get people to come on this? But aside from that, I don't know. Tony hugs her like he's never experienced human touch before. It was really, it was like a girl has never hugged him because he was like, Brandy goes, oh, here we go. Brandy goes for the incredibly difficult culinary challenge of grilled steak and asparagus sticks. Watch out, Gordon Ramsay. Tony then spends 2 minutes telling us how many different types of interviews he's done over the years in different types of media, in different types of environments. It was enthralling. They then call Brandy's mum so she can put Tony over about how much of a nice guy he is, which was great. Also, there was one thing too. Tony, because they drink through all these, the key is a shot of Brandy. So they always make a cocktail at the start, right? And for this one, it was just like tequila and soda water or something like that. But Tony literally for the whole thing holds his cup like an inch from his face like this for the whole... It was like Will Ferrell, I don't know what to do with my hands. That's basically what he was like. It was just weird. It was like somebody who'd never drunk before deciding this is the way we will hold it when we're out. So there was that. The steak looks terribly underseared and they barely take a bite of it. But
Tony Khan was in person.
But he swears it was really nice. Brandy then also says that Tony Khan's dad reminds her of James Bond. I'm not joking. She also compliments Tony and his dad on the NFL draft. Now, to be clear, the Jacksonville Jaguars still have the worst record in the NFL. And my last note on this episode was, how many episodes do I have left of this shit? Episode 3 was Rebel. This hurts because I actually had a thing for her when she was in TNA. I kind of liked her. They talk about her cheerleading career to start with, how she was a Dallas Cowboys cheerleader and all that jazz. And apparently that she used to do some of that sort of stuff with one of Cody's older sisters. So that wasn't too bad. It was pretty interesting. she talks about being in the lingerie football league. Brandy says that she also considered doing that, but then didn't. That's pretty much how far that went. I don't know what chicken pot pie is, but I'm sure what they cooked wasn't it. I'm just going to put it out there. I'm pretty sure that's what it is. Brandy wasn't supposed to wrestle in the tag tournament, but the original partner was sick, as were we all after that match. my last note was pretty sure Rebel was tanked by the end, and I don't blame her. We moved on to episode 4. This is your fault. You put me through this. Episode 4 was with Chris Jericho. And Jericho starts out the episode with bragging on how much he's been drinking in 2020. We know, Chris. We know. Jericho also doesn't like onions, which I'm not... I don't like onions either. So I'm fine with that. I didn't mind me either way with that one, to be honest with you. I just thought it was a little... Yeah. This was a hard one, actually, for an episode because... He had me liking him on one line and then, like, what a jackass on the second thing he said. So, there's that. The food looked good, but, you know, it's hard to fuck up Speedy and Meatballs. So, there we go. There was one thing I will say. The last part of this episode was the two of them talked about some memories they had with Dusty Rhodes, which was actually really nice. So, I'm not going to bag that out at all. It was actually really nice to hear stories about Dusty. So, as an old school wrestling fan as I am, that was good to hear. And we move to the denouement, the finish of the 5-episode arc. And that was with Cody. And I think this is what the latest episode you said or something like that.
Yeah.
Now, you know you're not interested in a show when you let YouTube ads play all the way through. That's basically what I was doing. Cody wears sunglasses all the way through this. I don't know why. Apparently, they're trying to start a feud with Guy Fieri. I don't know why. They're making breakfast burritos, but they were like a hot episode, so there was jalapenos and everything in Breakfast Weirdos, and which was fair enough. It looked, they actually looked not too bad. As a dad joke guy, I did appreciate Cody's jokes. He does have a lot of dad jokes, and it literally looked like he did not give a fuck about that show, so he was just being an asshole all the way through it, which to me was, because I'm thinking the audience at home is feeling the same way. They talk about their daughter, and I can't hate on that. He spends the last part of the episode promoting Go Big Show, which first I thought he was just cheering on the Big Show, but then I realized he has another show on TBS called The Go Big Show. And that was the 5-episode arc. It was probably more entertaining than what the actual shows are, but there you go. And you'll pay for that, Lachlan. You will pay
for that. It was worth it to hear those reviews. They were solid.
Thank you, sir.
Can't wait to pay for that.
Yeah, like I said, I said it in a break. If you'd put the Tony Khan one last, that would have been just perfect booking, because he's so fucking awkward. He is so awkward. I don't understand.
Actually watch the Khan one.
Yeah, you should. You should. It's like he was made by Mark Zuckerberg. And you notice too, his eyes are always like this. His eyes are always... Otherwise, it's just, yeah. But it made me laugh because they were going on about how good they did with the draft and all of that sort of stuff. I'm like, A, they had the number one pick. It's kind of hard to fuck that up. And B, they're still the worst team in the NFL. So they're obviously not doing that good a job. Anyway.
All right. Thank you for that. Let's talk about your chicken salad for this week, Todd.
I'm trying to think about what my chicken salad was now. Do you want to go first? Because I've got to think about it for a second. Sorry.
Yeah, my chicken salad for this week was the Danielson heel turn. I thought it was great. Good. I love anything involving Dark Order. They're just such great fun. Yeah, I know I normally put over, something from Japan or, some obscure thing. It was really good to see Brian in his element. Loved it.
My one is a pretty obscure one, and it's probably not one that anyone else is thinking of. I watched, I'm halfway through right now watching Turning Point, the Impact pay-per-view, because I want to see the Jonah thing properly. And it was the opening match between Chris Sabin and Ace Austin. Really good match. Like, Ace Austin is an undiscovered, sort of discovered gem, but just a really good match between those two. Like, Chris Sabin hasn't lost a step. He's so good. And it was just a really good match to see. If you got a chance, please go and check out the Impact pay-per-view. It's got I nearly said the Iconics, the Inspiration on there. Matt Cardona is up against Big Cass or W. Morrissey. You've got Moose and Eddie Edwards, and apparently it's supposed to be a really good main event. So, yeah, go and check that out if you get the chance.
Yeah, normally we do chicken shit first. I don't know why I did it in that order.
Yeah, it's okay.
I'm gonna get mine out of the way quickly. A little bit of content warning for someone who is mentioned in speaking out here. So if you uncomfortable with that, skip forward 30 seconds. I'm not going to stay on it long. Travis Banks is being booked in Mexico on an all-women show. And I hate that. That's bad. It shouldn't be happening. And it makes me feel bad about liking wrestling when that happens. Mm.
I'd like to know what the women's
Yeah, me too. I really would like to know. In a more lighthearted chicken shit, Vince McMahon had an egg that was possibly Nazi treasure.
No, it definitely was if you watch the movie. Depends which egg it was. There was 3 different eggs, so.
What about you, Todd?
There's
3 eggs,
Yeah, there was. My chicken shit is, it's probably something that it always gets debated about. Again, Dave Meltzer's reviews, in particular the reviews of Full Gear, because it was just like there's some that I can agree with and some that were just, I don't understand what he watched or what he thought or what the fact of the matter, like, he gave MJF and Darby Allin 4 stars. He gave the triple threat match, or the triple threat, the six-man match with the Bucks and Bucks and, or Super Click against Jurassic Express and Christian. He gave that match 4.5 stars. No, 5 stars, sorry. He gave it 5 stars. He gave the main event, he gave 5.25 stars or 5.5 stars. It was just, to me, if you're giving like that match with the Bucks a 5-star match, that is an insult to every other match that has been given 5 stars. That was not a 5-star match. I'm sorry. I don't care who you are. That was not a 5-star match. There is no way, shape, or form that that was a 5-star match. It's an insult. And to, especially when you're giving MJF and Darby Allin 4 stars. I don't know what the process that Dave's going through. I don't know, maybe the MJF and Darby Allin need to start naming some of their moves after Dave. Maybe that'll help. I don't understand what the deal is with it, to be honest with you, because it's just, it makes no sense. That was not a 5-star match. I'm sorry.
Insulting to the ratings.
It's insulting to the ratings. It's insulting to, if you think that was a better match than, because I don't even, you can quickly, Lachlan, you can quickly Google stuff. Can you quickly Google what Hulk Hogan and The Rock's WrestleMania match was, star-wise? Because I'd be interested to know what he gave it. I'll probably have to edit all this out anyway.
3 stars.
That was a 3-star. Nah, sorry. You can fuck off, Dave. No offense. That is an absolute insult. I am so very sorry, but come on. That gets 3 stars, and that Bucks match gets 5 stars. I'm done. Anyway, we are done because poor Lachlan is in internet hell at the moment, so I'm going to do the outro for him. If you haven't already, guys, please make sure you subscribe to WRA. It is free. You can do it on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere you get podcasts from. If you do stop by Apple Podcasts, give us a 5-star rating and review in there. Helps us get inside more ears. Share the show and spread the word, because we spread the word as often as we can, not only about WWAW, but also about Australian wrestling on the WRA shows themselves. No real way to support the show other than, if you go on Redbubble, there's Wrestle Radio Australia shirts, and those all the profits go from that to Gotcha for Life and Beyond Blue, two charities that we really do support here on Wrestle Radio Australia and Making Chicken Salad. I guess I'll do the rest of the thing because he is in silent movie hell over there. For Lachlan Albert, I am Todd Eastman. That's my opinion. You're entitled to it. We'll see you next time right here on Making Chicken Salad.